Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Peter Spiegel. Today our focus is dolphins, and maybe some whale topics as well. And would you agree that there's a steady stream of stories about dolphins in the news? Dolphins seem to have a special, almost mystical quality for many people, and they are well known not only to be highly intelligent, but also that they are self-aware. Now, some of our encounters with dolphins are not happy stories, like the injured dolphin who was held in shallow waters by tourists in China for photographs, only to die shortly thereafter. Others are more positive, like last year's video of a diver freeing a dolphin who was entangled in a fishing line and who had a hook in her fin. This dolphin actually approached the diver to get his help, and the video is really incredible. Now, in the wake of the film Blackfish, which concerned orcas, as you know, there's growing opposition to holding them in captivity. And that led us to wonder, what effect would this have on dolphins and other captive whales around the world? As you know, in California, Representative Richard Bloom recently introduced legislation that would ban the confinement of orcas for entertainment in the state of California. Will that lead to more dolphin shows and more dolphins in captivity as companies try to protect their profits? Later in the hour, I'm going to share a little story about a mailing from an innocent cornea doctor, illustrating how much work still needs to be done in raising awareness about dolphins in captivity. And I'll give an update on the orca legislation in California and other animal happenings from around the globe. But now I am pleased to welcome our special guest, Courtney Vail. Courtney serves as campaigns and programs manager with Whale and Dolphin Conservation, WDC, which is the leading global charity dedicated to the conservation and protection of whales and dolphins around the world. Welcome, Courtney.
Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
Great. Can you provide an estimate on the size of the global captive dolphin industry? How many dolphins are being held in captivity?
Always difficult to put an exact number on these things. We are reliant upon the reporting from facilities relating to the numbers of individuals they have in their facilities, the health and welfare of those individuals. But, you know, a broad brush estimate would be about 350 facilities worldwide in about 60 countries hold anywhere between 1,500 and 2,000 whales and dolphins in captivity. That's a big, broad brush global perspective.
That's incredible. And the main uses, can you explain the main uses that the dolphins are there for, like shows or various forms of encounters? What exactly do they do?
Yeah, I think it's helpful to kind of back up and look at captivity in general and frame the conversation a bit so that we look at it as a life cycle or a process, rather than an end result of just confinement in a tank or a feed pen, because that really only reveals part of the picture and problem. Most international facilities source their dolphins from the wild. The entire process of captivity, from capture from the wild, transport between facilities and to facilities, and their subsequent confinement takes a real toll on the individual animals involved and the wild populations left behind. So all along that life cycle and that supply and demand chain, dolphins suffer. And so, you know, of course, then there's the third element associated with captivity, and that is what it does to us, you know, our humanity and our relationship with these sentient beings and what it teaches our children. So captivity in and of itself is a driving force behind conservation issues for dolphins in the wild. There are long-term effects of captures that can be very significant for dolphin societies and the fracturing of populations in the wild. We know that some populations, such as the southern resident orcas in the Pacific Northwest, have not even recovered from the capture operations that occurred in the 60s and 70s there. And, of course, live capture is, you know, a threat because it's equivalent to killing or incidental take of dolphins from these populations, because those animals brought into captivity are no longer available to maintain their population. So contrary to popular perception, captures of dolphins continue to occur around the globe. And, of course, many of the listeners will be aware of some of the more inhumane and cruel methods that are used to acquire dolphins, such as in the dolphin drive hunts in Japan. if we look at then the quality of life issues associated with captivity, we start to talk about welfare concerns. No captive facility can accommodate the physical, social, and psychological needs of dolphins who are used to swimming tens of kilometers a day, and the stress of confinement and forced interactions with the public or with pool mates leads to much reduced lifespan in captivity and the potential for injury. If you look at the government-maintained marine mammal inventory reports, the primary causes of death of dolphins in captivity are stress-related, and these include septicemia or infection, pneumonia, ingestion of foreign objects, aneurysms, ulcers. I mean, if I gave you individual stories of how these individual animals have died in captivity, I think you would be shocked. And those are the stories and the backstory and the different narrative that's now coming out because of Blackfish and The Cove and Death at SeaWorld, written by David Kirby. All of the testimony from former SeaWorld trainers that is coming forward, and all of the discussion and debate that surrounds, you know, the Assemblyman Bloom's bill in California.
Yes. Where are the – well, thanks for reviewing all that for us, and maybe now you can lay out the situation in the United States. Where are the captive dolphins in the United States? Where are the main facilities?
Well, you have the SeaWorld facilities located in three states, right, in Texas and Florida and California. You have the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago and Illinois. You've got Mystic in Connecticut. You've got a handful of facilities in Florida, other facilities, deep end facilities, where you can swim with dolphins. And, you know, that's part of the problem. We have this natural affinity to get close to these animals, and that is perpetuated in captivity, which can lead to our wanting to replicate those experiences in the wild, which has real, again, conservation implications, especially in Florida, where, you know, provisioning or feeding wild dolphins and trying to swim with dolphins in the wild has real damaging implications for those populations. So there are a variety of facilities in the U.S., but of course we look at the primary facilities like SeaWorld as being those standard-setting types of facilities that lead the industry, and not only in the programs that they offer, but the activities around the world that are, you know, spawned by these types of facilities and the programs that they offer, and, you know, folks wanting to, you know, participate in these kinds of activities, either in captivity or in the wild.
Is there a concern following the orca pressure that is being applied around the world that dolphin attractions are going to increase?
I actually think the tide is turning in the other direction. There's pause for hope, at least at this time. I think public sentiment is rapidly turning against captivity. We've seen that borne out in our own scientific research polls that were conducted. We conducted a poll in June of 2012, well before Blackfish was released and Death at SeaWorld, on the heels of, you know, the death of the trainers at Laura Parquet and SeaWorld, Don Brenshaw, and the OSHA hearings that involved SeaWorld and the citation issued by OSHA that SeaWorld continues to fight in court. And all of that negative attention that was surrounding orcas in captivity. And that poll indicated that a mere 26% of the American public was supportive of holding orcas in captivity. And I would imagine that number is even, you know, less now after Blackfish and all of the discussion in the public arena. There has been some progressive developments, such as India banning captivity and proclaiming personhood for dolphins and individual rights for dolphins. We've seen a variety of countries ban captivity, Cyprus, Costa Rica, Croatia, and a lot of positive developments in that direction. Similarly, we've seen some aquaria taking some progressive steps. The National Aquarium in Baltimore has proclaimed that they, you know, are against acquiring dolphins from the wild. So again, if you look at that supply and demand chain, cutting off acquisition from the wild is really the first step to addressing captivity and the future of dolphins in captivity. If you cut off the supply from the wild, then you're left with dealing with the welfare issues of the remaining animals in captivity and what you can do to improve their quality of life. You know, end captive breeding, okay, and then you're left with a very discrete population, right, to try to reconcile and phase out captivity over time. So that, yeah, there's some very positive developments that I think are pointing to a new direction.
We're speaking with Courtney Vale from WDC. After the break, we'll be continuing discussion about dolphins and whales in captivity. You're listening to Animals Today.
If you're like most people, you have lots of plans. A financial plan, an eating plan, an exercise plan, a career plan. You also need a plan for the care of your pets when you're no longer able to provide it. Every day, animals are sent to shelters, terrified and confused, or they're euthanized because their owners have become incapacitated or died. Some people don't give the future a thought. Others assume family members will care for their pets. A better way is to name caregivers and provide detailed instructions about your pal's feeding, play, social, and health care needs. But even family and designated caregivers don't guarantee that pets will have a home. Good intentions sometimes take a backseat to life's realities, such as a new spouse who doesn't like animals, a sudden desire to travel the world, or the adoptive caregiver's own infirmity. A legally enforceable pet trust offers the only assurance that your assets will be used as you wish to provide for the comfort and care of cherished animal companions. More than 40 states recognize pet trusts. Check with your attorney, accountant, or state legislator to see if yours does and how to create one. Animals Today urges you to plan for your pet's lifelong well-being. Take steps today so he or she doesn't risk becoming yet another sad shelter statistic.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, IAnimals.org.
GEICO presents a man who just saved Donnie's motorcycle insurance.
Name's Mark, and this here beastly hog is Princess. Easy, Princess. Slow to roll. So how does this chopper cowboy save on motorcycle insurance, you ask? Easy. I just strapped on my savings chaps called GEICO and bam. I'm saving so much, my princess, well, she gets treated like a queen.
GEICO Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
From helping florists manage their first payroll to checking sales projections for logistics companies to showing garages how much they've been paid to pursuing leads for multinationals, Sage Software helps businesses manage. Whether it's accounting, payroll, payments, ERP, or CRM, Sage gives you the control to look forward with confidence. Visit sageconfidence.com.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking with Courtney Vail with WDC, Whale and Dolphin Conservation. Courtney, another activity that seems to be pretty popular is to go out into the sea, either with a charter business or just by yourself and try to find some dolphins and swim along with them. That seems like a harmless activity. What's wrong with that?
Well, once again, you know, our affinity for these animals is both a blessing and a curse for them in that these types of activities are often not done on their terms, even obviously in the wild. And our concerns are that not only can swim with activities pose harassment and potential for injury for these animals, they're very disruptive to their natural behaviors. And swim with and feeding activities in the wild are dangerous for human swimmers and dolphins alike. Swim with activities can target vulnerable populations and disrupt resting behavior. For instance, in Hawaii, an ongoing issue and high-profile issue is the harassment of spinner dolphins who are targeted by a significant number of swimmers and swim tours and kayakers in their resting bays during the day. You know, they feed at night and they come to these shallow bays to rest during the day, and they are highly accessible. And they, you know, this activity poses a significant concern and alters their behaviors and distribution of these populations. In fact, a study was just released. Julian Tyne has been looking at the spinner populations on Kona, and there are very severe repercussions for the swim with activities that are targeting spinner dolphins specifically. There are swim with activities that are occurring all over the world, of course, and in fact, the reference to the dolphin that was held up for a picture is just indicative of this desire for the public to actively seek out these interactions that we believe are promoted and encouraged and perpetuated by captive facilities. So swim with dolphin programs, whether in captivity or in the wild, have dire implications for wild populations. And it's very intuitive, I think, for people to want to interact. And again, that is, I think, a direct result of the encouragement of those types of activities. So there are very real implications for human swimmers as well, as well as the dolphins that are subjected to those activities, no matter how sensitively or responsibly, you know, a dolphin watching a vessel will approach those populations. There are still, significant outcomes that need to be evaluated and considered by the public. In addition, harassment, of course, is illegal in the United States, and swim with activities can verge on harassment. So there are legal implications to these activities as well.
Gotcha. Okay, so there's a connection there, which you explained nicely. Thank you. Regarding the drive hunts and the hunting of and capturing or killing of the dolphins, recently the German Federal Agricultural Minister joined U.S. Ambassador to Japan, Carolyn Kennedy, and the British Ambassador to Japan, Tim Hitchens, in condemning the hunts. What are these people saying, and who's listening?
Well, I hope the world is listening. We're very encouraged by these political statements, you know, these diplomatic overtures that finally have reached the public domain. We have been working, obviously, very hard behind the scenes and engaging these authorities in a discussion relating to the sustainability and the inhumanity, essentially, of the drive hunts in Taiji. And, you know, the drive hunts are a result of a complex mix of factors that sustain these hunts. And it's really the same laws of supply and demand that undercut the protection of all whales and dolphins in Japan and elsewhere. It's, you know, when I was there, I was told directly that, you know, the government mandates this slaughter for pest control. There is a philosophy and a perspective that is run throughout the whaling debate as well within the International Whaling Commission that whales and dolphins are competitors for fisheries resources. So there's this underlying belief that dolphins need to be controlled as competitors. Of course, most of the dolphins that are taken in the drive hunts are consumed. About 99% of all of the dolphins caught in the hunts over the last 10 years have been for human consumption. However, the hunting and for meat has slowly decreased, and now on the increase is the hunting for live dolphins for aquaria and swim with the dolphin programs around the globe. So some of the individual dolphins, of course, are selected alive from these captures and sent to different facilities. So there have been about a mean of about 45 live captures over the last decade, and more recently this has increased to about 100 dolphins per year. This past season, almost 900 dolphins were slaughtered, and about 150 were taken into captivity. So we're seeing a trend of acquisition for these swim with dolphin programs around the globe as basically supplying additional incentive to keep these hunts going. Of course, you know, issues about nationalism and, you know, again, politics is a part of these hunts. And, you know, Taiji is the birthplace of whaling, and it will be very difficult, I think, for that town to relinquish that practice. However, with the influence and participation of the global community, especially the political community, with Kennedy and the other voices that have come out against the hunts concerning, you know, strictly the inhumanity of these hunts, that's going to help raise the debate, I think, quite frankly. And I'm hoping that it's going to, again, change things in Taiji. Now, in tandem with the recent International Court of Justice decision regarding Japan's research whaling in the Southern Ocean, we can speculate a lot of things about what and how Japan might react to that decision. One of those might be to further entrench the coastal whaling, which would include the drive hunts. We're hoping that it actually does the opposite, that this international attention and concern that has been ongoing for decades has finally been legitimized by statements from Carolyn Kennedy, from court judgments that just came down within the ICJ, things like that. So we're hopeful that this raises the dialogue to a new level.
In the last 30 seconds or so, would you please share with our listeners what they can do to help the cause of dolphins and whales in captivity around the world?
Well, we are part of the problem and part of the solution, so essentially don't buy a ticket to a captive facility that holds whales and dolphins. People can educate friends and family about the truth and perils of captivity. Some really great resources that can be accessed online include Fall from Freedom, The Cove, Blackfish, whales.org is our website. We have a variety of petitions and actions that can be taken to support the public and their call for an end to captivity or an end to dolphin hunts. I encourage folks to go to our website. We have a variety of campaigns ongoing that address the drive hunts, that address captivity. One of those includes working with airlines to obtain agreement to not transport dolphins acquired from the drive hunts or from the wild. We are working with Virgin Holidays to, you know, encourage them not to promote travel to captive facilities like SeaWorld. Richard Branson himself has responded directly to us, invited WDC to participate in a dialogue. As a result of the pressures of our campaign, he has instituted an engagement process now for the public.
Thanks, Courtney Vail. After the break, a California orca update.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match to the dangers to today's world. The good news is animal behavior experts say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that the outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a crying child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. It's fun for both of you. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there can be no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you not to give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late. This message brought to you by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Ken Marcus was making a pastrami sandwich when he noticed an odd pattern on a slice of pumpernickel bread, one that spelled out Geico. Ken found himself visiting Geico.com, saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance with great discounts. Later, Ken felt conflicted whether or not he should eat the slice of bread that saved him so much money. But he was so hungry.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Got pain? Get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze. Maximum muscle and joint pain relief. Your solution for temporary relief of aches and pains. Zim's Max Freeze knows your pain and relieves backaches, strains, bruises, and sprains. If you're a senior, weekend warrior, or seasoned athlete, get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze is fast-acting and deep-penetrating with no lingering odor. Available at all major retailers.
I try to find the right one, but it seems like they all just have one thing on their mind.
Having only one thing on your mind can be a good thing when you find that special someone. At Geico.com, that someone is a car insurance policy, and the only thing on its mind is being your soulmate. Depend on easy online tools for paying bills and managing claims. Picture a life of savings as you gaze into the eyes of a free rate quote. That's our go-to move. Geico. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Staples has great deals on everything you need to tell the world about your amazing cupcake shop.
Try our amazing cupcakes!
From large in-store signs and banners to custom t-shirts and menus. Everything.
Try our amazing cupcakes?
Yeah, sure. Oh, it tastes like feet.
Except amazing cupcakes. Thousands of products added to Staples.com every day.
Uh-oh.
Even antacids. Now get 50% off marketing materials. Staples. Make more happen.
Offerings 5314. Minimum quantities and exclusions apply. See store associate at staples.com/copy and print for details.
What do you mean you got there exactly on time?
Ever since we started using Fleetmatics to keep track of our trucks and vans, our business has been running really smoothly.
Are you telling me you've cut your fuel cost?
The boss doesn't have anything to yell about anymore. But some habits are hard to break.
Great! Another call from a happy customer.
Fleetmatics takes the drama out of business. Make fleet tracking more intelligent with real-time tracking, fuel monitoring, and more. Visit fleetmatics.com/start or call 1-877-350-DEMO for intelligence at work.
Hello, this is Scott for Scott's Tough Builder Lawn Food. Lads, your lawn is a living, breathing thing, and right now it's hungry. So it's up to you to feed it today with Scott's Tough Builder Lawn Food. A prompt feeding now in early spring and another in late spring strengthens and helps protect your lawn from future problems. Go on, put down some Scott's Tough Builder Lawn Food this weekend. Feed your lawn. Feed it.
Visit scotts.com/goyard for the chance to win a $25,000 backyard makeover.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now, 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Hey, Lori.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, we have a little California orca legislation update for you and the listeners.
Okay.
It's been a busy week. As you know, recently legislation has been introduced to that would end the holding orcas captive in California. And big news reverberating around the world probably. There is a branch of SeaWorld, as everyone knows, in San Diego. That's would be the primary target in this legislation. in Sacramento on Monday, okay, there was a big rally there, and the presentation of a petition that was signed by 1.2 million people around the world was presented. Isn't that incredible? And there were many protesters and supporters of the bill, including a now getting very famous fifth grader from Malibu named Kira Kotler. She and two other young girlfriends were present, and she was very instrumental in adding support to this petition drive.
Fifth grader. That's great.
And she and her parents, the story goes, watched the movie and watched Blackfish, mm-hmm. and then pledged not to pledged and were able to discontinue the tradition that the fifth grade class in her elementary school had of going to SeaWorld every spring.
Oh, that's fantastic. She was instrumental in that.
Yes.
Good
yes.
girl.
And even though she's reported by her mother to be rather shy, she really has found her voice. And the class of fifth graders is not from Point Doom Marine Science Elementary School in Malibu is not going to SeaWorld this year. No word where they're going this year instead, but they'll do something else.
Right.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yes. So so that was the news on Monday, that huge petition from around the world generated very quickly, okay? And I have a feeling this is just the start of things. That preceded Tuesday's hearing, which was also at the state capitol. And unfortunately, the legislation, it was decided to sort of put it on hold pending further study of the legislation. And this was agreed to by the bill's author, Richard Bloom from Santa Monica, whom we know. Was on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was decided, he stated, and it was decided that there was just not enough support from his fellow legislators to really go forward with the bill. And he said, it's clear that many committee members are simply unprepared to make a decision on the bill.
Wow.
So.
Too bad.
Witnesses for the Marine Park said that the bill was not well thought out. It was not a viable option, and that the if the bill would pass, it would result in orcas just being moved to parks outside the state. Even though there were dozens of animal rights activists packed into the hearing room and many more outside, it was decided that it would have to be studied further. Now, interestingly, a representative from the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce, actually the CEO, Jerry Sanders, he had a statement after the hearing that said that SeaWorld is a very local to the local, very important to the local economy, provides thousands of jobs, and that it would, this bill would hinder, if it would become law, hinder the economic activity down in San Diego, which of course Mr. Bloom does not agree with, and he stated that. And, of course, there were the usual cast of characters for SeaWorld saying that the animals received the highest level of care, opportunities for research, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be at least another year before this comes up again.
Wow.
Yes.
Too bad.
So disappointing. But, you know, Naomi Rose, who is the marine mammal scientist with Animal Welfare Institute, right? She is very philosophical about this. She says it's a long process. We've been waiting a long time to get to this point, 20 years, she says, and she is confident that eventually this is going to happen. And just she's been waiting a long time for someone like Bloom to come along and really take this bold step. And it's just an awakening that's finally going to happen.
And even
I have to agree with her.
I do too. Even though it's unfortunate that this is now going to be put on hold, it still made people aware of what's going on, right?
That's right.
And it started the discussion.
And I think 1.2 million signatures on this petition is just a start.
It's huge.
Imagine, so I would guess that now California is really engaged.
Yeah.
Really what we need is not a million plus signatures from around the world, from people who are predisposed anyway, who know about this stuff, but to get individual California districts and members of districts to contact their representatives.
Yeah.
Right? So the next go around, they know where they stand. And I would imagine this is going to be organized from, a couple of the big groups get real strong campaigns. So everyone is calling their personal representative. So that when they come to the floor, it's not just random signatures from around the world, it's voters.
Right.
And we've got a year to ramp that up.
Good idea, Peter.
It's going to be huge.
Yeah, good idea.
And we'll just call them every day if we have to. Okay?
Right.
So there's the latest. We're not going to hear much about this, I would say, at least for a few months. But as soon as these, if I'm correct, as soon as these efforts happen, we'll tell you what to do, depending where you live. Okay. Now, I want to switch gears to an item concerning captive dolphins and a personal experience Lori and I had. As you know, we are both ophthalmologists and eye surgeons on people, and recently we both received a big format postcard from another ophthalmologist eye surgeon here in Southern California. It was a solicitation, and I will describe to you what this the picture that this card had, but on the front of it, it says, thank you for your support and the name of the practice and Happy New Year. And on the back, there is text describing what he is offering and why you might consider referring your patients to him for his special services. And we both received this. And on the picture that we found disturbing was probably meant to be an innocent Happy New Year image, but you've got three youngsters, maybe age 12 to 14, in a big pool touching a dolphin who's on this little shelf. And they're smiling, and everyone seems happy, and it's designed just to be a happy image of a family around the happy time of a New Year. And, of course, it has nothing to do with his with the ophthalmology practice or with eye care in any way. It's just a happy family and, with their dolphin. Well, clearly this doctor and the practice has no idea of what's going on here and has no idea where this dolphin came from, what was done to get this dolphin into this pool, and really doesn't understand the whole implications of just putting this innocent picture out. And he's probably just unaware and innocent, or just not tuned into this stuff. So I sent them an email and I said, hey, dude, I said, thanks for the card, but this is what you're not getting. Okay. You have to really educate yourself, and please, I advise them to go view the film, The Cove, among my other things. And I said, thank you, et cetera, et cetera. And that was the end of it. And turns out that Lori received the same card maybe a day later, and you called them. Is that right?
Yeah, independent. I didn't know you
were. Before we spoke
about
this.
Yeah. It was so funny. I called them.
Yeah.
I got on the phone and just called and talked to the secretary there, the gal that answered the phone, sweet woman.
Yeah.
I sort of educated her. She said, I had no idea until we got a similar complaint from another gentleman via email.
Yeah.
Yes, the day before.
Yeah, that's funny.
And so she started to think about it. And she said she had no idea, and she's going to take the gentleman who called email prior the day before suggestion and look at and watch The Cove with her kids.
Oh, great.
So interesting. She's going to try to educate her doctors.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, if you're interested in seeing this picture, we've purposely not named the practice or the doctor, but if you go to the website, I will block out the faces of the kids, but you can see the postcard, and I'll if you wish to send a follow-up email to them, I welcome you to do that. But I think you'll find this card very interesting, so we'll get it up on the Animals Today website very soon. Now, after the break, I've got more animal news for you, so stick around. You're listening to Animals Today.
I can make it on the road going mobile.
If you're like most people, you have lots of plans. A financial plan, an eating plan, an exercise plan, a career plan. You also need a plan for the care of your pets when you're no longer able to provide it. Every day, animals are sent to shelters, terrified and confused, or they're euthanized because their owners have become incapacitated or died. Some people don't give the future a thought. Others assume family members will care for their pets. A better way is to name caregivers and provide detailed instructions about your pal's feeding, play, social, and health care needs. But even family and designated caregivers don't guarantee that pets will have a home. Good intentions sometimes take a backseat to life's realities, such as a new spouse who doesn't like animals, a sudden desire to travel the world, or the adoptive caregiver's own infirmity. A legally enforceable pet trust offers the only assurance that your assets will be used as you wish to provide for the comfort and care of cherished animal companions. More than 40 states recognize pet trusts. Check with your attorney, accountant, or state legislator to see if yours does and how to create one. Animals Today urges you to plan for your pet's lifelong well-being. Take steps today so he or she doesn't risk becoming yet another sad shelter statistic.
Geico presents a man who just saved on his motorcycle insurance.
What up? Evan here. Question. You like apples? I'll get to that in a minute. First, check out my motorcycle. Flames? Yep. Saddlebags? Yep. Room for two? Negatory! Sorry, ladies. I ride solo. Now, wait for it. How you like them apples? Aw, don't cry. Insuring this beast was crazy easy. Called Geico and boom, saved enough to buy a sidecar. Now, if you dry your tears, I might just let you ride in it.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
From helping florists manage their first payroll to checking sales projections for logistics companies to showing garages how much they've been paid to pursuing leads for multinationals, Sage Software helps businesses manage. Whether it's accounting, payroll, payments, ERP, or CRM, Sage gives you the control to look forward with confidence. Visit sageconfidence.com.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, I really enjoy your commercials about Geico's app. I watch them over and over and over. They make me both laugh and very hungry. Weird. Anyway, I just want to let you know how Geico's new claim status updates on the app really blow me away. Getting those updates makes me think of you. I'd like to thank you in person. Just send me your address. All the best, Big Bad W. Sure thing, Big Bad W. I got a pen. It's 802, not gonna happen lane.
Claim status updates, just a tap away on the Geico app.
As a home buyer in today's fast-paced real estate market, you need a competitive edge. You need an advantage that helps your offer stand out from the rest. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you how to get just the edge you're looking for as a home buyer. This brand new program is called Mortgage First, and it's exclusively from Quicken Loans. With Mortgage First, the name really says it all. Unlike a pre-approval, we'll verify your assets, income, and credit to underwrite you up front, giving you the upper hand on the competition before you even start shopping. As a strong, confident buyer, you can stay focused on finding the right place for you and your family, knowing you're approved by Quicken Loans. To learn more about Mortgage First, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Restrictions apply. Rate terms and conditions may change until final loan approval. This is not an offer to lend. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Your daughter just joined the band and needs an audience.
Mom, Dad, I'm ready now.
Immediately. Now is definitely not the time for a headache. That's why you want fast-acting Advil. It has fast-absorbing Advil Ion Core technology and goes to work in just minutes. Fast-acting Advil quickly relieves your toughest pain, so you don't miss a beat. Try fast-acting Advil. Find it in the white box. Your daughter just joined the band and needs an audience.
Mom, Dad, I'm ready now.
Immediately. Now is definitely not the time for a headache. That's why you want fast-acting Advil. It has fast-absorbing Advil Ion Core technology and goes to work in just minutes. Fast-acting Advil quickly relieves your toughest pain, so you don't miss a beat. Try fast-acting Advil. Find it in the white box.
Got pain? Get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze. Maximum muscle and joint pain relief. Your solution for temporary relief of aches and pains. Zim's Max Freeze knows your pain and relieves backaches, strains, bruises, and sprains. If you're a senior, weekend warrior, or seasoned athlete, get Zim's Max Freeze. Zim's Max Freeze is fast-acting and deep-penetrating with no lingering odor. Available at all major retailers.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Hey, Lori.
Peter.
Bern, Switzerland joins the ranks of zoos in Europe who like to kill their own babies.
Oh, no, not another one.
By euthanizing not a giraffe this time, but a bear cub. This is, you know, the term that's being, I don't know if this is a real term, zoothanasia, but that's being gaining popularity, at least in the States. This zoo euthanized a cub to spare it from being bullied by its dominant father.
Yeah, you should remind listeners about Marius the giraffe. Marius the giraffe at the Copenhagen Zoo was killed, right?
That's right.
I guess they gave the reason she didn't fit into the breeding program or some silly reason like that.
Right.
And then subsequently, two lions.
Yes.
Were killed, or cubs?
Yeah.
Were killed in the name of conservation.
Yes.
At the same zoo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's almost like cultural zoo insanity,
right,
going on.
So now we're at a different zoo,
different
country, right?
Different animal.
Right.
And two bears were born in captivity from a mother and a father who were donated to the zoo in 2009. The bears were not separated from their father like they should have been to protect them, because there's a lot of territorial fighting that goes on, and the father gets jealous and then likes to kill the bear, and that happened once already. And so then the zoo decided that they would spare the second bear from that fate and just euthanize that one before.
So why not put the bear in a different cage?
There's no good explanation that is given why they did not remove these bears, or why they even let these bears get born if they serve no use, if they could just be euthanized.
Well, the silly explanation I read from the zoo was they wanted to keep the bears in as natural as environment as possible.
Yeah.
So does that make sense?
It's
as if there's anything natural about keeping these animals in a cage in the first place?
I know.
Okay, so rather than taking the bear and put in another cage, just kill it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like I said, it's just like zoo culture gone wild.
Yeah.
It's all sort of almost it's almost hard to believe how this has become normal behavior, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And so I don't know why they let these bears procreate in the first place. What's the plan for the cubs?
Yeah.
There's no forethought, it seems. So it's really a tragedy, and you would think that the folks in the Bern Zoo would look at what's happening in the rest of Europe and look at the worldwide outrage and get a different plan.
Well, that's the point I want to make, and I'm surprised by the discussion and the outrage that was sparked by the killing of Marius the giraffe and the lions, and the outrage even among those who don't typically get involved with issues surrounding animal protection, right?
Yes.
You would think that the senseless killing would stop after these animals because of the public pressure. But no, they don't care, right?
Or they have no mechanism or insight as to what's happening.
That's right. So I have a question for you, Peter.
Yes.
Do you think this increased public awareness and outrage about what is happening in the European zoos, right,
yeah,
now three times, right, do you think this leads to increased support for U.S. zoos? So now people are thinking, U.S. zoos are so different, and we are not like that. We concentrate on conservation, and we're wonderful, and we would never do that. Or do you think people might be rethinking the entire notion of zoos and the ethics of holding animals captive for human entertainment?
Well, I think both is happening simultaneously. I think we saw a representative from the AZA come on to make just that point.
Right.
That, look, that's Europe, but the U.S. zoos are just fine, and we're doing it right.
And we're wonderful.
And so you should have our full support, and that's
right.
Pretty easy argument to make.
Right.
And they certainly get the support of the mainstream media, right?
Yeah.
But yet, I think others who are really thinking about this understand that the problem is not whether you're in Europe or the U.S., that it's much larger and really goes deeper than just the specific practices in zoos, Europe versus the United States or the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So at least we're at least it's getting attention.
Right.
What a tragedy.
It is. It's terrible.
You ever see those programs like in hospitals where they bring dogs or other animals into the patients and
to visit the patients, make them happy? Yeah.
A recent study published in the journal Anthrozoos shows very little scientific proof that these programs help people or are beneficial to the animals.
Well, I'm surprised, aren't you?
I'm surprised. It seems like at least happy thing to do. I mean, maybe that's one thing that kids seem to like it, or even the adults seem to like it.
Yeah, you're in the hospital, you're mending from whatever, and some sweet little dog visits you. It's like, okay, everyone's happy.
And yet, the study shows that there's very little scientific work done to talk, for instance, healing or outcomes or benefit to the dog or freedom from causing infections or that sort of stuff that's been done.
Mm.
So if you're interested in science as the next what happens in hospitals and what happens to the outcome of patients' illnesses, then there's work to be done there.
Do they sterilize the dog's feet before it comes jumping on the hospital patient's bed?
I know. Everyone's gone crazy about hand washing.
Yeah.
And there are you're still very likely to get an infection while you're a patient in the hospital.
Yeah.
That's good. Do they have the dogs walk through
some sterilizing
machine? So.
Yeah.
Just lick more. And then finally, the first a clone dog in South Korea has been won by a British woman. She won a contest. She was able to get her dog named Winnie, a 12-year-old Dachshund, cloned. And so they took some of Winnie's cells, sent him off to South Korea. They created a new clone dog, and she's going to be able to have it soon.
That's silly.
So 60,000 pounds to clone a dog.
Yeah, that's silly.
Yes.
Right?
Doesn't help anything.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
Opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
IRN USA News, I'm Bill Morrison. Investigators from the National Transportation Safety Board wrapping up the initial stage of their probe into Thursday's collision between a tractor-trailer and a bus carrying high school students on a visit to a college campus in Northern California. The crash killing the two drivers along with three adults and five students on the bus. Officials say investigators have gathered much of the key evidence from the crash site and they're continuing to collect records. The